90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City, Community Radio. Streaming online at www.kkfi.org.
The views and opinions of this program are those of its host and guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of 90.1 FM, KKFI, Midcoast Radio Project, or its staff and volunteers.
Hello and good morning. Welcome to Cowtown Conversations. I'm your host, Joseph Jackson. Today, we're going to have a guest who is really on the cutting edge of what we're going to, which is the cold weather season, Ms. Mary English with the Metropolitan Energy Center. And we're going to discuss ways to reduce your monthly energy bills and ways you can make your home safer for you and your family. As a side note, October is Energy Awareness Month, and this was done by President George W. Bush the senior in 1991, so it was the first time it was held. Was Energy Awareness Month was first done October 1991 by President Bush. So, good morning, Mary. Are you here with us?
I am. Good morning, Joseph. I'm so happy to be here. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary. Can you tell listeners about a little bit about yourself? Are you originally from the Kansas City area?
I am. I was born in Kansas City, Missouri, at Research Hospital. I've lived here most of my life, with the exception of a bit in Arizona in between. But otherwise, I'm a Kansas City girl, born and bred. I am the energy program manager for the built environment at Metropolitan Energy Center. And I've been in this field for close to 15 years now, and I love it.
So,
what else would you like to know?
So, Mary, the Metropolitan Energy Center, people may, I'll go back when they used to have the little house right there on 39th and Paseo, but they're a 501c3 nonprofit organization, correct?
Correct. We're almost a 38-year-old, we're actually almost a 40-year-old non-for-profit. We have a great executive director, Kelly Gilbert, who has a really deep background in the transportation side, transportation efficiency, and a really smart, wonderful, diverse staff that is both on the transportation efficiency side and the building performance side. So we're here for the community, for the entire region.
I want to say it was like 2005, 2006 when I discovered you all, and you could go to the little house and walk in and pick up information on energy efficiencies and different things you could do to make your bills cheaper. And one of the bonuses that I was able to find, because I knew about y'all's website, was when the Obama was president, there was a push to get people into energy appliances, and Kansas City got money, and a lot of people got in on it, but you could get an appliance and then get a rebate check based off the cost of that appliance. And that was something that was done out of the little house right there off of 39th and Paseo.
Right. And those were fun days. That location no longer exists for Metropolitan Energy Center. We are in a space, an office space at Plexpod on 39th Street, but it's 39th and Gillum now, and we're not, because of the pandemic, you know, necessarily we don't have an office with a receptionist and brochures anymore at a front desk, but we're still here as a resource for the community and can help guide folks through, you know, utility rebates and other programs as they pop up, which we hope more will, with the legislation going through Congress right now.
Mary, what is the mission of the Metropolitan Energy Center?
Okay, the mission is to provide resources, information, training, and guidance to reduce greenhouse gases, reduce energy for the entire regional metropolitan Kansas City area, also using equity as one of our main pillars for our focus. So we're here for the entire community, both businesses and residences, And that means all residences, including tenants, which roughly half of our metropolitan area are made up of renters. So it's really important that we're a resource for everyone and help those residents of Kansas City get their homes to being more efficient too, even though they don't own their home.
So let me take a step back for a second. Mary, the COVID pandemic has impacted the world. How has it impacted the Metropolitan Energy Center, and how do you meet with those who are seeking information to make their homes more energy efficient?
Right. Well, like everyone, it's cut off a lot of personal connections that's made community outreach feel easier. We've moved our programs to online or outside, which we do have in-person programs outside, especially when it comes to the transportation side, you know, which makes sense. Electric vehicle events are going to be taking place in a parking lot, probably, so people can see these cars. But we are expanding the building performance side online as well. I mean, that is our extra pages are under construction right now as I speak. And unfortunately, we're not doing a lot of in-programming. That's how COVID's impacted us, but it has not slowed us down as far as the amount of information that we can offer to the regional public. We just onboarded a new customer service rep, for example, to have in our benchmarking department, which we can talk a little bit later if you'd like. Benchmarking is about measuring energy in the buildings for the commercial side of things, but those commercial customer service reps will also be able to help residences too if they need to call in and have guidance, you know, need guidance through certain programs.
So when people do come in for appointments, you all, or like everybody else, you require them to wear a mask, correct?
That is correct. We haven't had many people ask us to see in the office, but we certainly can. And FlexPod and MEC have a mask policy in place for indoors and outdoors when we can socially distance. So hopefully this era is coming to an end. But for now, yes, we ask that everyone mask for in-person meetings.
Mary, does the Metropolitan Energy Center work with those in Missouri only? And then you were saying earlier, or is it the program also open for those who are in Kansas to help reduce their energy costs as well?
We're region-wide, so that crosses all borders and the rivers. Now, some of our programs and assistance are for Missouri only because the utility rebates right now are for Missouri only. You know, that's due to, you know, the you know, different administrations changing over in the state of Kansas. And we are just heard that hopefully in 2023, Kansas will be back to having some robust programs through Evergy and some other utilities. But, you know, MEC, we're region-wide. So maybe we can't tell you about anything going on in Kansas because there's nothing going on in Kansas right now for utility rebates, but we can certainly help you find contractors, answer your questions about your homes or business or other buildings in regards to energy efficiency. And then we have a robust transportation side, which, you know, I'm not that. Don't ask me transportation questions, but you know, if you have questions about electric vehicles or alternative vehicles, we have a staff that can help you with that as well.
And I know that one of the things, like prior, about 2 years ago, Evergy had solar panel rebates for people who wanted to get solar panels. So in addition to the federal government rebate on solar panels, Evergy was cutting a check to people who were getting solar panels. So essentially, you're being paid to put in the panels and make your electric bill run backwards, essentially. So there were a lot of programs out there then, but there's still a lot of there are programs out there now.
Not as much as there used to be now. And I realize a lot of these programs have a set pot of money. And so when the money runs out, you know, they have to be approved too by, you know, like the Kansas corporate commission has to approve the tariffs in that state. Missouri has their own approval process. So it takes time for these approval processes to happen, and then the pot of money is there until it's used. And so those rebates for solar panels, they just ran down the pot of money. So that's what happened with that.
So you were saying you all are not open. What's the best way for somebody to contact you if they would like to get more information? I know you all have a website also, but what's is there office email that you all may have that they may send to me an email to, or go to the website to, send in a request to get information?
Sure. So we do have a contact us form on the website, and that's metroenergy.org. And the email is info@metroenergy.org. And we also have our phone number if you want to call in. It's probably David that's going to be answering the phone. Now, there's a myriad of ways. And then, if you have specific questions about, say, the benchmarking ordinance for commercial buildings, you can also email me. I'm just mary@metroenergy.org.
So you were saying something earlier, Mary, about one of the things, and I saw it in my own neighborhood, I call them April to October houses. People moved in April, and then they moved out in October when they got that first energy bill for gas because they were bigger houses and they were not insulated. And now you said, before, I know landlords had to contribute. How is that program, being changed to where landlords may not, if you were renting somebody's house, you had to get their approval in order to do that. All these factors bar somebody who may be renting from being able to do energy and have energy efficiencies done because the landlord doesn't want to contribute, but it also makes it reduces their income and utility usage, and it helps them. So what is the process now if somebody is in that situation? Is it still you have to have your landlord's approval, or how does that work?
You do. Evergy has a couple of pilot programs right now for market rate apartment renters. They go through the landlord to be able to upgrade their utilities, and that landlord uses the benefit of telling their tenants that they will have less electricity to pay for. It's a systemic problem. I'd say, utility bills are impacted by inefficiency and all the greater depending on age, style, who built it, with other types of factors going on impacting your bills. And there's a ton of building stock, like you said, that is uninsulated in the city, with outdated HVAC systems as another item. There's so much wasted money poured into inefficient buildings, if you know where to look, that I'd call a systemic tragedy. And that, it is. It's systemic because the system is that most renters are paying the landlord for the space, but then paying utilities directly for their use. And so the landlord's out of the loop, and they don't see the bills, and they don't care. Okay, I want to back up. That sounds harsh. I don't want to paint landlords as all landlords as that way. But it can, the system creates an out of mind problem about this. So MEC has created a Healthy Housing Task Force, and we're having actually our mission and goal creation related meeting, just our second meeting this week, as a matter of fact, tomorrow. I'm super excited about it, where we're going to try to tackle that problem. And we have roughly a baker's dozen of some really great community leaders and industry leaders to sort of crack that nut and see how we can reach the property management individuals and get them to see that this problem doesn't just impact utility bills, but it also impacts health, comfort, and it'll impact their bottom line in a positive way if they upgrade their buildings, because they'll have less tenant turnover. Like you said, it's an April to October building because people are like, oh, this is uncomfortable, I'm leaving. Well, guess what? If it's a healthy, comfortable place to live, your bottom line will be impacted because you won't have to find another renter into an empty space.
So is there still chances for people who may want to sign up to be on that committee to come out and work and give information and, you know, just listen and take back?
Yeah, thank you for that question. The task force is, we've got a full quorum here, but we are going to be reaching out to other communities to have meetings and interviews so we can get impact information from other community leaders in the area to help guide us towards problem solution based discussions. And then we hope that that task force will expand into a network, you know, maybe as early as next year. So stay tuned, and we'll be updating our website with opportunities and more information about that as the mission and goals are completed and progress is made.
And this is just something that I was able to find. Kansas City homeowners may see their heating bills jump sharply this winter, according to U.S. Energy Information Administration and local utility companies. First, why the spike in prices? Inventory for propane and natural gas are already lower than normal, and there's a global increase in demand as well as supply issues. Prices fell to record lows in 2020, but since then, energy prices haven't surged. Natural gas in America is at its highest price since 2014. Demand has grown faster than production as the economy bounces back from the pandemic. What can we expect? Here in the Midwest, it could be the most expensive winter for natural gas heated homes since 2008, 2009. Homes that use natural gas can expect a 30% increase, or about $746 more. Homes that use electricity expect a 6% increase, or about $1,268 more. Homes that use heating oil expect a 43% increase, or more than $500 this winter. And homes that use propane expect a 54% increase. What can we do about it, folks? Add weather stripping around windows and doors, change your air filters, install plastic sheeting over the inside of your windows, keep vents and radiators clear of any furniture, use a programmable thermostat, lower your thermostat settings, seal heating ducts, seal your chimney flue when not in use, keep the interior door shut, layer warm clothes, keep doors shut, take shorter showers, and set the thermostat back 10 degrees for about 8 hours of the day. And one of the things that Evergy does offer is a programmable thermostat. I was able to get a free Nest thermostat from Evergy. I was paid to install it, and then I get a check every year that, as long as I stay in the program, where they can then turn off. If we have high energy days, they can turn it back, but you get a check. Even if they don't have energy days, you still get a check. I think it's like $25 a year. But also what that Nest thermostat does, it's a learning thermostat. So it maximizes your utility efficiency because you can set the thermostat. And one of the things I do is when I go to bed, I use a couple extra blankets. I may turn it down to 67, 68. And then I have it set so right about the time I know I'm going to wake up, I turn it back up. It turns itself back up to, you know, about 72, so the house is not as chilly. And that's 6 hours right there a day, folks. So you usually sleep at least 6 hours a day. So that's six of those 8 hours of turning it back. So those are some of the ways that you can do. Also, Evergy has some other programs out there where they do energy audit, and I'm going to give that information at the end of the hour. They will walk through your house, give you energy audit, give you up to 20 LED bulbs. They also have a power strip, and it's about a $50 power strip you can buy it on Amazon, to where, like, when you have the old VCR, the DVD player, the TV, all those things draw energy. Well, this power strip, it doesn't draw energy until you turn the TV on. The TV is the master, so those other items are there, but they're not drawing as much energy because the power does not kick on until you turn the TV on. So, you know, that full clock on the DVD player, or VCR, or whatever, or the video game, all that is not fully energized, so that saves you money. They're called vampire appliances. So those are things that you can look at. You know, Also, one of the things that people can do is to clean the coils on the back of the refrigerator, and that would definitely give you a better energy increase. So there's just some of the things that we can do to try to impact that and go from there. But Mary, as we were talking about that, what are some of the things that the MEC, Metropolitan Energy Center, suggests that people do in the wintertime to help maintain affordable heating bills?
Well, you listed a pretty good, complete list. The programmable thermostat really is a great thing in the house. You know, because a lot of times you're just not thinking about going and running and setting your temperatures at different times of day, and that does it all for you. You know, there are a lot of other things you can do to weatherize your house and buildings, and it, you know, what you can do, of course, depends on your cash flow. You know, like many things in the U.S., it depends on your cash flow situation, doesn't it? And whether you can resolve certain situations like old equipment, for example, HVAC. If you have old, outdated HVAC equipment, at the very least, you should probably, if you can, get a tune-up and have your HVAC company come in and make sure it's operating to full capacity, because older, outdated equipment, the efficiency declines as it ages. You know, so keeping that well maintained is important. If it's, you know, if you have something that's like, you know, old as the hills, you know, consider replacing it, because that'll be, you know, most energy upgrades to your home are a better investment than most financial products. The return on investment is going to be much faster than, you know, a CD, for example. But, you know, new HVAC system can be on the pricey side for those that don't have a pot of money sitting around. But, again, you can get a tune-up for, you know, pennies on the dollar. And I want to stipulate, too, that there are less expensive things you can do to help the comfort and health issues in your home. So air sealing and some DIY insulation can be done on a budget that will save you a lot of money. So, for example, you know, if you have an unfinished basement with the exposed rim joist, which is your band joist there that's sitting on top of your foundation wall with, you know, what's called the sill plate, and your ceiling, you know, your roof joist, there's that like little rectangle that's in between all of your floor joists. You can go in, get some, you know, go to your Home Depot, ask for some, if they have any damaged blue board insulation that they can sell you for a discount, or even if they can't, just buy it at regular price and get that with a few cans of do-it-yourself spray foam. Wear one of your handy masks that are now in everybody's homes so you don't breathe in any of the foam, and cut that out for each little rim joist area, and then picture frame it is what we call, to keep it in place and air seal that foam up against your rim joist, and you'd be amazed how much that will cut on the drafts, and then that'll save you a lot of what we call air exchange rate turnover in the house. That cold draftiness in older houses is coming from these leaks in the bottom part of your house, and then it's like pushing your warm, conditioned, prepaid heated air out of the top of your house. Furthermore, if you are a DIY person, you can rent a cellulose insulation blower machine. If you have a friend that can help you haul it up to the attic and blow what's called cellulose, which is recycled newspaper treated with anti-inflammatory and anti-pest control substances, it's perfectly healthy. And you can blow that up in your attic and blow 14 inches of that in your attic, and you'll be saving hundreds of dollars a year in your utility bills if you have a low or uninsulated attic space. I have folks that did something like that, and they said that, why did they wait so long? They wish they would have done it. And if you're not a DIY person, this stuff that I'm telling you, air sealing and insulation in your attic, is still a lot less money than paying for new HVAC equipment. So do that first anyway, because it's not only less expensive than new HVAC, but it's will create a healthier home, and it's something you should do anyway before you replace your equipment. So, you know, the HVAC contractor can size the equipment correctly for a better insulated house. Hopefully I'm not getting too much into the weeds. Some of this stuff starts to get kind of technical, but let me know if you have any follow-up questions on that, Joseph.
No, that's sort of what I did with my house. Is I bought some of the cans of foam, bought some of the blue or the pink styrofoam board and put it in and foamed it in. And one of the other things I did was I caulked around the seal plate, but then I also got a flex seal, which turns basically into rubber, and I just took a paintbrush and just kind of painted around that seal plate. And folks, the importance of that seal plate is this. In the summer, when your AC comes on and it starts sucking air, it'll pull that 100-degree temperature air into the house, and then it's tried to bring it down to 30. In the wintertime, it brings that 20-degree weather air in and tries to heat it up to 70. But if you tighten that seal plate up, like I said, and you can go on YouTube and see some of the videos, and you can go to your local home store and, you know, get information, and you can sit there and do it with yourself a little bit at a time, and you can then turn around and you will see firsthand the type of return you're going to get. And if you ever decide to buy new windows, you know, we all buy new windows every now and then, you know, maybe every 20 years we may buy a window or something, but go for the new construction window, not the replacement window. And the reason why you want to go with the new construction window is because it has a lip on the outside. So once you bolt it down and then put the tape in there, you don't have the old drafty windows as you had with the replacement windows if they're not properly caulked and put in place. And that can make a huge difference in a room. And I've did it in two houses, and it makes a good difference. And then, you know, there are things you can do, folks, that insulation. And my grandmother left me her house, and I did the renovation on it. And the gas company called me because they wanted to know what I did. They said we had to go back 20 years because we'd never seen a house with this low of energy cost. And it was nothing but $5,000 worth of insulation, rim choices, windows, and a high-efficiency furnace before anybody knew what one was. And there are rebate programs out there on the Spire website where you can get that information, and they will also help you with that. So don't ever feel like you're stuck in a situation. Last thing before I go back to asking another question, Mary.
Yeah, I would love to talk about those windows, too.
Go ahead. And
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, first of all, window, you're absolutely right. It's about the installation of the windows. It is about quality, but a lot of people, I mean, the window dealers, manufacturers have a lot of marketing money. And so people equate weatherization with replacing the windows. And it's really, you should do other things first. Like you said, air sealing around the windows. It's important if you do decide bite the bullet and replace windows to get a contractor that understands how to air seal properly when they're replacing the windows, when they're installing the new windows. Because you're just replacing glass with glass, and glass is not, you know, it's not as good as an insulated wall, but, you know, we want windows because we, you know, we want light and have a lovely place to live. Also, if you're, you know, we're not talking about, if your windows seem perfectly fine, but they just need air sealed around, also consider just buying some storm windows. If you don't have storm windows, they are a third of the cost of a replacement window, and they will get you what you need as far as the weatherization goes. So I wanted to add that. You don't necessarily have to buy new expensive replacement windows. The return on investment, especially if they're not installed correctly, is not going to be what you expect at all. The insulation, air sealing, and then if you have old, outdated equipment, are things you should do most likely first. But you should also, if you have an old house and you can invest in this sort of thing, you should also maybe hire an energy auditor that can give you a detailed prescription for what your house actually needs. That's the experts. They're there. Joseph, you are very knowledgeable, more than the average layman, and that's great, but there's still no replacement for somebody that's been professionally trained in this industry.
Oh, no, and that's what I was going to get to next is the energy audit, folks. If you all have Groupon, there are companies on there will do the energy audit. I think it's like $35, and they come out and do – I have them come out first and tell me exactly what's going to do the give me the biggest bang for the buck. And they come out, they give me a thermal scan of the house, and some places may charge you $300-$400 to do that, and you can get it on Groupon for like $35, and you save yourself all that extra money. And the key to that is that a lot of the programs that are offered through MGE and through Spire require you to have that energy audit. So you can. They give you a little report, all the little things that you need. They do the blower test door. You know, I've worked with my aunt who they did her house, and she saved a whole lot of money. It was insulation in the attic, and, you know, now her gas bill is, I think it's like $50 a month. But they did a lot of different things. And as you said, they didn't go to replace windows. They caulked around windows, and that had the same effect as doing that. So they caulked around windows. You know, they replaced a couple different things. But there are other things that you can do, but there's also a way that you have to do it. And to do that, folks, you know, get the company that will do that. But if you want to get it done yourself and just, I think I paid $35 for that one, and it's always a special on Groupon, especially this time of year. So we're going to take a short break. You're listening to 90.1 FM KKFI. This is Kansas City's community radio station. This is Cowtown Conversations. I'm your host, Joseph Jackson. And today we're talking with Mary English from the Metropolitan Energy Center. Stay tuned right back after this short break. We're back. This is Joseph Jackson hosting Cowtown Conversations on 90.1 FM. And our guest today is Ms. Mary English, who's with the Metropolitan Energy Center in Kansas City, located right off of 39th Street. So, Mary, we've been talking about building performance, but what is actual building performance?
Great question. Building performance is using science to understand how your house or building uses energy. You know, as technology has improved over the decades, construction process really hasn't changed much. So we've been adding, you know, more robust products. We've been starting to insulate walls, add better windows. But if you treat everything like a part, an individual part, rather than looking at the building as a whole, we call it whole house or whole building, you can run into some problems that will create, you know, issues like mold growth and things in your house, which, you know, I'd love to talk about the health issues surrounding all this because it's extremely important. But building performance is like we were talking earlier in the show about how you talked around the fill plate and how we are recommending air sealing and insulating your rim joist in unfinished basements. Well, that's cutting down the airflow in your house on cold, windy days, inhales and exhales, much like a live being. It brings in that cold air as the wind blows, and this is starting to get into laws of thermodynamics, so I don't want to get too much into the weeds, but you have on pressure, when your house gets under high pressure because of a cold, windy day, is pulling in cold air, it's one in, one out. So one cubic foot of cold air that's coming in from the lower half of your house, now that air, equivalent air, has to be released from the building, and that is usually going to be released from that expensive heated air that you're paying your electric or gas company to heat, is now exiting out of the top of your building through recessed lighting, through top leaky windows, through other, penetrations in your drywall and your ceiling. That's all going out through your roof. And so when we're talking about building performance, we're talking about addressing at the very basic that infiltration rate. But then as technology improves, we're adding things like you were talking early in the show about programmable thermostats. You talked about air sealing your ductwork, getting better efficient equipment. All this stuff needs to be talked about and related to each other. So the equipment is not standalone. The equipment interacts with the other efficiency attributes of your building. It is impacted on whether you have leaky return air ducts that are back in the day. My house was built 70 years ago, and I have return air ducts in my exterior walls, for example. So when that furnace kicks on, if that return on the other side of the grate that's up against my rim joist isn't well sealed, you know, that the return is sucking, right? Mm-hmm. So guess what? It's sucking cold air from outside and then just making the furnace work harder to heat the air because it's not the pre-tempered air. It's sucking in cold outside air as well. So it's understanding how that building is performing with the way it was designed and how the systems are interacting with in the interior and exterior, and how the attributes, whether you have insulation or no insulation, how that also impacts how your HVAC system is working. That we could go on all day about building performance, but that in a nutshell are the highlights.
We've got a caller, Rich, calling from Overland Park. Rich, can you tell us what your question or comment is?
Yeah, I sure can. I live in an apartment, Joe, and I have a big sliding glass window. It isn't insulated at all. I mean, I can touch it. It's freezing. I wanted to get one of those folding screens that you buy, our Japanese or whatever they would look like, you know, but I couldn't find any anywhere to put up in front of that thing. And the second question is, I'm not sure if I understood her correctly. Is it smarter to leave a window slightly open during the heating time?
No. No, not at all. I'm not sure what you mean by leaving the open. You mean as far as the heating time, you mean winter? You should make sure your windows are air-sealed and tight.
Okay,
and
so
with
the window should be
a storm
tight
window.
Okay. But what about the screen thing? What can I do about that folding, that sliding glass door?
Unfortunately, sliding glass doors are tough because, you know, the way they're designed, you can't caulk around the frame of a sliding glass door because then it won't work. I'm assuming that you use it. You use that as an entry and exit out your house?
It's the back door, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, I'd say that you probably the best thing you could do is maybe buy for the coldest days, maybe some window dressing higher, you know, hang a heavy curtain, you know, that might rob you of some daylight if that's not an option. You know, you're probably right, trying to find some sort of air block, like a screen that will still let in some light. To put in front of it might work, but unfortunately the sliders are really tough to weatherize. You know, you can try to caulk or air seal around, you know, if you have a window trim, you can try that, will mitigate some of it, but yeah, the sliders are tough to weatherize.
Were the caulk on the outside?
Yeah,
you can caulk outside the window trim, so, you know, the wooden window trim that is usually frames everybody's windows on the interior, you can caulk around that. You can go on the outside, too, and see if there are areas that you can caulk on the exterior of the window frame as well. But you can't caulk on the track of your slider because then it won't work. You could buy some weather stripping, though, on the when the door closes up against the jamb, you can weather strip that one part of it. So when you pull it shut, it'll seal up against a rubber weather strip on the very side of it. So anything that isn't impacting the ability to open and close the window, you can buy that rubber weather stripping seal.
Okay. And even the landlord couldn't improve this situation if they wanted to, right?
Well, they could with the remedies that we just talked about that'll mitigate but not completely solve the problem. You know, that's up to the landlord and you to have that discussion. They could, or they could replace the slider with a more efficient unit. So yes, I mean the landlord could probably, but you know, once you start talking about complete door replacement, you are starting to talk into, you know, about more money. So that's, again, talk to the landlord and see what he's going to do.
The light that the sliding glass door lets in.
Right, right.
Okay, Mary, I won't bother you with more questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Good luck.
I know that was one of the things my grandmother used to do was wintertime that you suggested she would get those big, heavy quilts and put those big, heavy quilts in the doorway to keep air from moving in back and forth in between because it was so expensive and the house wasn't weatherized. So, but then it's a temporary situation where you can then turn around when it starts to get warm again, you can take that quilt down. So, I mean, that may be the only big thing that you can really do to kind of keep a lot of that air from penetrating. Mary, how does building performance impact our monthly utility cost?
Well, that's a good question. So, again, inefficiency is making us spend more money inside our houses. And, again, depending on the age and the way it was built and style of the house, you're paying more on your utility bills than you really need to. There's so much wasted money poured into inefficient buildings. So if you look at if you can picture a pie chart in your brain about the portions that you're spending on your utilities, a well-insulated, well-weatherized building, you know, you can expect maybe a quarter to a third of your expense to be paid on heating and cooling and, you know, your house or your building. Inefficient buildings, you start to see half to two-thirds of your budget being spent on heating and cooling your house. But it's more than utility bills. The area that's growing in our industry is looking at the health of the people occupying that building and how it's being impacted and how we're spending a lot more money than we need to on health issues related to inefficient buildings like mold, for example. It's very likely that if you have a mold growth problem in your building, it's related to an inefficiency issue. And so many people, you know, will pay somebody to mitigate the mold growth, and that will be, you know, scrubbing it with a bleach solution, let's say, to clean it up without addressing the problem. So guess what? The mold will be back if you don't address the inefficiency problem. And that, again, I have lots of anecdotes about kids and people that were suffering from black mold in their homes or offices.
Yes. When I was in Texas in the military, I stayed in an apartment building. When it got cold in the wintertime, the window sill would ice over and then black mold would grow into it. And I told them about it about four different times before I finally had to move because it was... I kept running sinus infections and different things because essentially what I was breathing in at night was black mold. I had to turn around and definitely I had to move after. I think I gave them the first month they came and addressed it. I moved the second month when it just kept growing back. So that was definitely something to look at. So Mary, we're talking about our personal health and building performance related.
Absolutely, without a doubt. Building performance specialists can tell you some horror stories, but much of this information has not made it into the mainstream. You know, what we do know is just the tip of the iceberg because the building performance, building science profession is still relatively boutique with education facilities around in the field going back to around 50-ish years. So there's not a ton of long-term historical data out there, but fortunately, what we do know is growing by the day due to research and case studies happening in the field. And the science, again, the law of thermodynamics is the guide. So one example, again, if you have mold, and a lot of dust and moisture in your home, it's highly likely that those are issues that are related to the efficiency of the building. And by building, of course, I mean both homes and commercial, all of the above. Most people hire these mold mitigation specialists without addressing the symptom. Much of the healthcare costs have not been quantified on a broad scale addressing this problem, and because of we're growing in this field. There are associations, institutions are doing the research, though, so I imagine we're going to see an estimated big national bill here soon. In the meantime, you can do the math yourself by estimating the age of the building stock. Building performance professionals have benchmarks, meaning, you know, baseline information of data that they can correlate to buildings by the age of to quantify the estimate of how much we're spending on healthcare bills because we have sick building syndrome because of mold and other, you know, organic compounds that might be in the air. You know, because we know what materials and styles and technologies were used in decades past. And also this data is being collected and annotated by the U.S. Department of Energy. So just anecdotally, when you're not talking about energy efficiency regarding the building envelope and you go back to your HVAC system, if you have natural gas or other types of, you know, like propane burning systems, also now have to worry about, you know, carbon monoxide potentially if you're not getting those systems tuned up. I've measured high carbon monoxide in a lot of homes in the past. I mean, before I landed here at NEC, you know, I did a lot of energy auditing in the residential sector and found some unsafe issues. I don't know if you want to hear if we have time to talk about that, but
we won't go into that because, like I said, we're closing out here. But I've got to ask you one question, mm-hmm. Mary. One of the programs offered by the NEC is Project Living Proof. What is Project Living Proof?
Oh, so glad you asked. Project Living Proof is our demonstration home on Emmanuel Cleaver Parkway in Troost. You can call and make an appointment to take a look at it. We also use it for event space, of course, with COVID protocols in place. And that demonstrates different systems you can use. We have renewable energy like solar panels and battery storage on site. We have efficient water delivery system called a manifold. And we have different types of HVAC systems. And then we have these things called truth windows that is like a clear plexiglass window in the wall where you can see the different types of insulation being used. And somebody can go in and point out what the, you know, different attributes of the insulation is, what the thermal values are, and what the benefits are using one over the other, for example. So it's a great place. So we also have master gardeners that garden on the ground, so you can go and see, you know, a good community garden. You know, they have events a couple times a year at our place, and you can talk to them and buy plants from them as well. So I'm kind of going off on a tangent here, but Project Living Proof is, it's been over a dozen years. NEC has been using it to teach a multitude of different subjects there.
How can people call to get information to tour the property?
Again, go to our website, metroenergy.org, and I cannot get you that number right this second, but I'll get it to you here in just a minute.
Okay. As we're talking about that, you were saying also MEC, Metropolitan Energy Commission, is part of the Healthy Housing Task Force. Have you all been able to make a big dent in this program? I know this was something that came on to Kansas City about 2 years ago, and, you know, tenants were living in substandard houses. What has been the impact of you all working within that program?
Well, again, we are just starting to outline the Healthy Housing Task Force, but our goal, without getting endorsement from the entire committee right now, speaking for MEC, our early goals are sketched out to create a robust network of contractors to do peer-to-peer education, to keep on boarding new contractors that can be a force out there in our region that know, understand building science, how these systems interact, how they impact health, so how we can prevent things like mold growth and carbon monoxide issues, and also have programs through, you know, there's a pot of money in this Build Back Better that is supposed to address healthy housing, and that's going to go out to the cities, and we're going to be set up and ready to help our municipalities spend that money to make our residents' homes, whether you own or rent, healthier. That's the goal. I have that number for you, too, Joseph. Okay. It is 816-531-7283. Use that number to call for any questions, including about Project Living Proof. And the office email, I misspoke earlier, that is, it's office@metroenergy.org is our general email that is checked daily.
So, Mary, also the Metropolitan Energy Center is working to create new benchmarking ordinances for Kansas City. What are benchmarking ordinances?
Okay. So the benchmarking ordinance was created by the city of Kansas City, Missouri. So there's an actual ordinance law passed in 2016. Benchmarking means baseline measurement. So it's as simple as typing in your utility information into a software platform that the city is using so it can start measuring all the energy use of the commercial buildings in the Kansas City area. And commercial buildings that are required by law to do this benchmarking annually are 50,000 or greater square feet for most commercial buildings, including multifamily, excluding heavy industrial. So we, you know, they understand that if you're manufacturing something big, that you are going to have a lot of energy use. But everything else, the ordinance is a requirement, and that's, you know, including school buildings, districts, most institutional buildings need to be entering their data into this Energy Star Portfolio Manager. MEC is contracted with the city to help building owners do this, and it's a free service. So I can't emphasize enough that MEC is here to make it easy on everybody to do this. We want to help the city increase compliance. Right now, it's just over 50% compliance rate. And we're contracted to increase that by, you know, roughly 20 percentage points. And I want to increase it by more.
So as we close out, one last question. So you all do a lot for people, then people may not know where you're at. But can you reiterate again where you're located, the phone number, and how they can get in contact with you to get more information about energy efficiency in their homes?
Absolutely. We are a regional service provider, but we are located in Kansas City, Missouri. At FlexPod, which is 300 East 39th Street, please call ahead if you want to meet in person. And again, with COVID face mask protocols, that number again is 816-531-7283. And the email is office@metroenergy.org. And then it talks about Project Living Proof. If you want to email Project Living Proof specifically, that's at PLP, and again, that's P as in Paul, LP, at metroenergy.org. And then you can also sign up online. We have a sign-up form at metroenergy.org/about-us/contact.
I want to thank Mary for being our guest today. We never end Cowtown Conversations without a community minute. It is fall, and soon daylight savings time will return. This is a perfect time to check the battery in your smoke detector. This alarm is critical and can provide critical notice in periods when there's a fire and could save lives. Evergy is giving away free energy kits to those that include up to 20 LED light bulbs, 2 shower heads, water pipe insulation, and 2 smart power strips. You can call 855-907-6930 or visit Evergy Connect office at 1710 Paseo Boulevard to schedule an appointment or to get more information. Calvary Wellness Center will be offering their community grab and go today at Calvary Community Center, located at 3002 Homes. The distribution time is 3 to 5 p.m. And if you have questions, you can give them a call at 816-531-4683, or you can visit their website at www.ccon-kc.org. Also, more important, Medicare open enrollment period started October the 15th and will run through December the 7th. So this is the only time of year that people who are on Medicare can look at changing their providers. So folks, investigate, find out if you've got the best plan for you. There's some programs out there to give back money depending upon your zip code. So please call and check and look. And I'm working to get somebody to come on and talk about the benefits of open enrollment next month. So definitely it's something worth looking into. The Cowtown Conversation has been your host, Joseph Jackson. Join us next week for another episode. I hope everyone has a great day. Stay dry, stay safe, wear a mask, and stay tuned for My Place with Larry J. We'll be right back.